Thanks for joining us on the listener-supported service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois, AM 580. It's time now for our opening commodity market report. And with that summary, here's Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Tuesday morning, everyone. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time. In Kansas City, December wheat opened at 8:33, up 4 on the open. At the Chicago Board of Trade, December wheat opened at 8:62, up 1 on the open. March, 8:60, down 1.5. July, 5:90, down 2 on the open. September corn opened at 3:27, down 2.75 on the open. December, 3:43 1/4, down 2.75. March, 3:59 1/2, down 3.5. May, 3:71 1/4, down 1.75. July, 3:79, down 2.5. December of next year, 3:94 3/4, down 3 on the open. March of 2009, 4:03 1/2, down 2.5 on the open. September beans open at 9:03, down 1/2 on the open. November, 9:16, down 2. January, 9:32, down 1.5. March, 9:43, down 2.75. May, 9:49, down 3. July, 9:56 1/2, down 3.75 on the open. September soybean meal opened at 2:49.50, down 90 on the open. October, 2:51, down 80. September soybean oil opened at 37.78, up 10 on the open. October, 37.95, up 5. At the Merck, October live cattle opened at 95.60, down 10 on the open. December, 99.50, down 25. February, 170, down 20. April, 190, down 22.5 on the open. September feeders open at 118.90, up 2.5 on the open. October 118.45 unchanged. November 118.70 down 25. January 116.50 down 17.5 on the open. October lean hogs open at 66 even, down 45 on the open. December 68 down 32.5. February 71.30 down 27.5. April 71.70 down 12.5 on the open. And February pork bellies open at 87, down 10 on the open.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you.
Joining us now to talk about the markets is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good morning, Wayne.
Well, hi, good morning, Dave.
Off of the opening bell, we're seeing wheat coming close in the September variety to a double-digit gain. It's at 9 to the positive side. It hasn't opened yet. But the December at 8:62 1/2 is up 1.5. We're seeing going out to May of next year up 6.5. Is this just a reflection of the Stats Canada's numbers this morning, or is something else going on here?
Oh, I think it's a combination of a lot of things, Dave. I think, the Stats Canada number, I think the dryness in Australia, a little bit of setback from the opening, probably from the good rains in Argentina, and then the tremendous talk of people wanting to buy wheat out in the world market. India's wanting to increase their commodity stocks, their reserves, even at these high levels, just to placate their public over there because of the high percentage of income that goes to food costs. So all that together, along with the shortage of wheat on hand right now, is keeping this wheat market hot.
You wouldn't expect much of a backslide tomorrow after the report in the wheat, would you?
Well, it depends on what sort of numbers we do see. I think that it's we're looking a lot more at the actual weather forecast for Australia, Argentina, and then looking ahead to, what wheat will be planted down the road. But, one of the things we have to remember a little bit is I think that Australia has been very tight-fisted about making wheat sales. So, when they finally do decide to let loose whatever size crop they have, that's going to be extra bushels out there to be sold.
Turn your attention to the corn market. And we're getting more and more reports trickling in about the yields out here across central Illinois anyway. And these yields are pretty good, Wayne.
I think that's a much of an understatement, Dave. I think they're outstanding. You know, we've been hearing some tremendous yields, probably 20 bushels more than a lot of people are expecting when they hit the cornfield here. So that is just enormous as far as this goes, and it's going to make up a lot for some of the problem areas when it comes time to average things out. I think that the government, you know, as we look to tomorrow, everybody feels they're going to have to raise the corn production number a little bit.
Well, might we see an October kind of raise in the September report?
You know, it's very possible. I mean, you know, just out of the fact that we're a couple weeks early, crops are coming in good. And another thing to consider greatly along the way, which I know the government doesn't consider this time, they take a five-year average on the weight of ears, is all the test weights we've been hearing are probably 3 to 4 pounds, at least 3 pounds over normal in most areas. So very high test weights.
And if you look at the technicals, December corn on a weekly chart has been wedging itself narrower and narrower, with the point of that chart right around 346. If we come up with a number, oh, I don't know, tomorrow 155, 155.5, do we then test the July lows again?
Well, I think that that's very much in the offering. If we would get that kind of number out of the government this soon, I would say that that's a good probability, Dave. Now, can we do much more than test them at this point in time with beans well over $9 and the acreage war we've talked about for so long going on? I think we would see a lot of buyers down in that anything in the 320 range, that there would be some buying coming available.
Of course, it is all about the demand at this point, and particularly in the wheat, but certainly beans and corn also playing into it. What are your thinkings down the road? Let's put the report aside for tomorrow. We talked about it a lot. What do you think about the next 30 days?
Over the next 30 days, as far as price goes, well, yeah. We've seen that the barge freights must have narrowed in quite a bit. The river bids have come in somewhat that way, but I think we're going to have some real problems as far as trying to get this corn crop put away as it enlarges on us. You know, we were figuring about trying to handle, you know, a 180 to 200 bushel crop, and it looks like in many areas, and it looks like now they're going to look at a 220 bushel crop in a lot of areas. So that's an extra 20 bushels per acre that they need to handle. So we're going to possibly see either basis or you know, flat cash price probably is going to stay wide or not be as good as what we had hoped in some of those cases. Dave, we haven't seen enough bean yields to know what's going to happen as far as the beans go, but it does seem that with the way things are, the way some of the processors and where they're at, that the beans will stay a fairly strong market through harvest.
And don't think the USDA would probably do much with the bean number tomorrow, do you?
I think that we will see it unchanged to up maybe a half a bushel, but I don't see more than a half a bushel change either way. But we would find it very hard for them to be lower than they were last month.
What advice do you have producers then today? Do they just sit on their hands, wait for tomorrow, and take it from there?
I think that basically along the way, we need to, as close to this, the day before reports, not a day to be jumping unless there's something very favorable out there. We have seen in some instances, in some areas where there's some quick shipment bids in places and the basis is very tight. If you have that situation, like at Linden over here, they're wanting some good new crop corn to put through their ethanol plant that just opened and just running strong. Take advantage of those, because later, when more corn comes available, their basis won't be that tight. But in most cases where the basis is still wide, I think that we sit tight for the moment.
Producers have more choices than ever before, don't they?
They have lots of choices this year, and they've had a lot of good chances to make some good sales and put things together and an idea of what they're going to store and when they're going to sell some stuff. And I think that, you know, they've been offered a lot of opportunities this year, and I think there's going to be more next year.
What should producers do with corn that they have to sell across the scale because they don't have storage on farm?
Well, I think, you know, number one, we want to look and see what the elevator storage costs and what the deferred prices are at this time, how much basis appreciation there is. If there isn't enough to pay for storage and make a little money for interest on it, then I think when we sell it across the scale, And we look to buy at least a March option, whether we want to do a straight option or bull call spread. But I do want to replace some for some of the appreciation that we will come when we're trying to even out the corn and bean acres after the first of the year.
For those who don't know what a bull call spread is, Wayne, what is it?
Okay, that would be buying the lower price call, say a 350 call, and selling a 450 call. So that basically after we get to 450, then you would lose your gain in the market that way, but would protect you at least for the next dollar move.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you, Dave.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He is in New Market, Indiana. Current tick, September wheat going for, well, it still has an open in Kansas City. The December, though, at 834, up 5. At the Board of Trade, September not open. December at 863, up 2. September corn, 326 and a half, down 3 and a quarter. December, 343, down 3. March, 360, down 3. December of next year, 393, down 4 and 3 quarters. September beans, 903, down a half. November, 916 and a quarter, down 1 and 3 quarters. November of next year, 915 and a half, down 3. You're listening to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. We're on the web at WILLAG.org. It's 10 o'clock Central Time.